Amen. Praise the Lord for that special. And I appreciate so much the music this morning. It has been exactly what we would want it to be here. And certainly it stirred my heart, and I trust that it has stirred your heart as well. And just the thought behind that song, everything to us. Those who have made Jesus Christ their Lord, I trust that He is everything to us. And when He is everything, you'll find that He is enough. He is enough to satisfy every need that we have. Genesis chapter 19 this morning. Genesis chapter 19. We're going to be studying the life of Lot this morning. And I know many of you are familiar with the story of Lot. And of course, Lot moving into the wicked city, the city of Sodom. And the reading from God's word that we'll take this morning as our text comes as angels, God has sent them into the city of Sodom to destroy that city for its great wickedness. And so our reading picks up in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 12. I ask that you'd stand this morning out of respect to the Lord's word if you're able to. And join me this morning in standing as we read verses 12 down through verse 16 of Genesis in chapter 19. The Bible says that in verse 12, "And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city." I want to preach a message entitled this morning, "Lot Lingered and Lost Much." Lot lingered and lost much. We'll try to apply that to our Christian lives today. Let's pray. After we're done praying, you can be seated. Lord, we do come before you this morning, and we are thankful, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to be in this place. Lord, our hearts have already been stirred this morning, Lord, by the music that we've had here. And Lord, just putting us in a frame of mind, Lord, to point our direction to you. And we're so thankful for that, Lord. We're thankful for every person that was involved in that this morning and how you've used them. Lord, we're thankful for everyone that has gathered here today for the preaching of your word. And I pray that you'd use it now in all of our lives. Lord, I pray that the message would be very clear this morning, that we would apply it to our hearts and our lives. And Lord, that we would leave different than when we came. In your name I pray, amen. And you can be seated. I have to be quite honest, as a father and as a husband, when I begin to read verse 16, it really jumps off the page at me. Lot is lingering there as those angels have come to destroy the city of Sodom. I mean, think about it, this. The warning had been given. There was no mistaking about it. That city was about to be destroyed. The date had been set. The men are there. The plans are in place, and yet Lot lingers. The idea behind that word linger means this. It means to question or hesitate or to be reluctant, to not want to say goodbye. And certainly that was Lot's attitude towards that wicked city of Sodom there as the angels are about to destroy that. That Lot is standing there and really has to be supernaturally removed with his family from that city. I just don't understand that this morning. I got to be quite honest with you. We think about that word lingering and what it means to us in our modern day vocabulary. I was thinking just of ways to illustrate this. I remember many of you know our story. For the first 5 years out of Bible college, my wife and I served in Cleveland, Ohio at the Cleveland Baptist Church. My dad pastors there, and so we were on staff there. And I remember that word linger could be used to describe my mom the day we got in the moving truck and left to come towards Indianapolis. She didn't want to say goodbye. She was hesitant and reluctant. And it wasn't so much me. I know I want to believe that it was. It was really the grandbabies that we were taking with us to come to Indianapolis. Through the means of modern technology today, we don't talk to them on the phone. We look at them when we're speaking to them on the phone through FaceTime. It's an incredible thing. And it's always funny because, I mean, we're able to, I mean, when the kids were first starting to walk or if they were doing something funny, we'd turn the camera to them. And my parents have really been able to watch them kind of grow up through FaceTime. But it's always funny when we go to say goodbye. Even now, my mom will do this. She lingers on the FaceTime. And she says goodbye about 10 times. The kids are always laughing. They're like, Grandma can't say goodbye to us. She says it over and over again. And she says, I love you over and over again. Like she just doesn't want them to let them go. And we understand that idea, right? I mean, there's loved ones there. And while we understand that type of lingering, again, I just don't understand Lot here and what his thinking was as he's looking at the city of Sodom. And how Lot would linger when he knows judgment is at hand. And how he would linger to the point, listen, where those angels would have to take him and his daughters and his wife by the hand and literally drag them out of that city before that city was destroyed. And all I can say is this. I want you to get this thought this morning. The pull of the world is stronger than most of us will ever give it credit for. The draw or the attraction to the things of this world in the Christian's life is stronger than many times we want to admit. So much so that Lot is standing there in his beloved city of Sodom, which, by the way, was a very wicked city. Lot is not wanting to leave that city as fire and brimstone is about to fall in judgment and damnation on that city. And Lot lingers. I want you to understand the city of Sodom had such a stronghold on Lot that Lot truly lost everything that was important to him through that city. And here's what I want you to understand this morning. Listen, Christian, the desire of the devil is to use everything about this world to draw you away from what really matters. The devil longs to use everything in the attractions of this world to draw you as a Christian away from what really matters. And say, Brother Andy, what really does matter? I would say this, our relationship with God, first and foremost, and the blessings that come from that relationship. That's what we're here for. If you're a Christian today, listen, nothing else matters except for that relationship with God and all the blessings that come as a result of that relationship. And the devil will use this world and he'll use the attractions and the allure of this world to take you away from those things that are truly most important. And if we're not careful, we can be like Lot, who's standing there lingering, longing for this world when God says, I have so much more to accomplish through you than what this world has to offer to you. I want you to look at just a couple things this morning. First of all, I want you to see the progression into Sodom for Lot. The progression into Sodom. As you study Lot's life, you see a definite progression. Go back, if you would, to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. And again, I know we're many of us are familiar with this story. Lot was obviously Abraham's nephew. God had told Abraham he would make of him a mighty nation, and as a result, those that were around Abraham suddenly began to be blessed by God, and Lot was one of the benefactors of the blessings of God. And God began to establish Lot and build him up and strengthen him, and finally Lot and Abraham, their cattle and their herdsmen were at odds with one another, and so Abraham came to Lot and he said, it's time that we separate. You can go your way, I'll go my way. And he says, whatever way you choose, I'll go the opposite direction. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plains of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Would you look at what attracted Lot towards Sodom? It was the beauty. It was what Sodom had to offer to him. He looked and he saw the well-watered plains of Sodom, and he said, that must be a great place to raise a family. That must be a great place to establish myself and allow our family to grow. And listen, instead of looking to God and saying, God, which way would we go? Lot went to what was attractive in his own eyes. Listen, I'm reminded this morning, the allure of this world and what Satan supposedly offers through this world. Listen, one of the commentators as I was reading about this passage said, the biggest mistake Lot ever made was looking to Sodom. Listen, it wasn't necessarily yes. The fact that he moved into Sodom, yes, is a big mistake. But the biggest mistake is he allowed himself to get a temptation or a look for the things of this world. That he even looked in that direction. That he even turned his tent towards that direction and said in his mind, that might be a nice place to move one of these days. So it was the biggest mistake Lot ever made in his life. And yet from the beginning, you see Lot lingering or longing towards the city of Sodom. Looking towards it because of all that it had to offer to him. And I'm reminded this morning, listen, this world is attractive. Let's be quite honest this morning. The devil makes the things of this world look attractive. And listen, I want you to understand, when I say this world, the system of this world, I think what I'm referring to is the things that the devil offers to us that are opposed to what God has for us. And the devil has made the things of this world very attractive to us. But I want to remind you this morning, as Christians, we are to make no provision for pleasing the flesh. Amen. I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. The Bible says there in Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. It says this, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep." I love this thought. "For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." I want you to think about that fact this morning. If you're a Christian today, you are closer to seeing your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ than you've ever been before. And he says, listen, it's time to wake up. It's time to realize my life's about a different purpose. I'm not here to try to get all that this world has to offer me. No, it's time to wake up and realize, listen, we could be standing before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this afternoon. Our salvation is nearer today than it's ever been before. Verse 12 says, "The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." I want you to understand something, this Christian. We live for something else, not what this world has to offer. Our lives are not about that purpose of what this life can offer us. We have everything that we need in Christ. I'm so thankful, again, even the special this morning. Everything that we have is found in Christ, and he is our everything. Can I say this way? Lot looking to Sodom, it was a temporary way of thinking. A temporary way of thinking in making this world his home and not thinking about that which is eternal. Not long after Lot pitches its tent towards Sodom, then in Genesis chapter 14, we see Lot now dwelling in Sodom. Now he's made Sodom his home. There in the land of Sodom, he's taken all his worldly possessions as he's brought them in there. Even later than that, in chapter 19, we see Lot sitting inside the gates of Sodom. Sitting in a place of leadership, if you will, there inside the city. And here's what it seems. It seems that Lot has made himself quite comfortable with the city of Sodom. He's established himself there. And I would say this, listen, if Lot was unaware of the wickedness of the land of Sodom before he moved there, on day one he should have noticed this is a wicked place, and he should have realized this is no place to raise a family. Should have removed himself from there. Even on day one he would have realized that, and yet we get a far different picture. We see a man that settles down. We see a family that becomes immersed in the culture, in the lifestyle, the ways of Sodom. Two of Lot's daughters took to them husbands of the land of Sodom. And listen, it very much seems like they were fully immersed in the ways and in the culture of Sodom. You see, there's a progression towards the land of Sodom for Saul, for Lot this morning. And yet I want you to understand something. Lot lived in the midst of wickedness day after day. I want you to turn over to 2 Peter chapter 2 because it gives us a glimpse of what he would have dealt with as a believer living in the land of Sodom. 2 Peter chapter 2 this morning. 2 Peter chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 6 there, it says, "In turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly." Now verse 7 says, "And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." That verse kind of enlightens us a little bit. First of all, it helps us understand that Lot truly did look to God. He was a believer. He was somewhat of a righteous man living in the land of Sodom, but the Bible says he vexed his righteous soul from day to day. In other words, living in the midst of Sodom in that wickedness, it helps us to understand and identify with Lot a little bit more. And it's interesting to understand this, that Lot wouldn't have enjoyed one day of living in Sodom. As a righteous man, there was nothing that Sodom could offer to him. In fact, the Bible says it vexed his righteous soul from day to day. That word vex has this idea towards it. It means torment or pain or toil. Every day, Lot would wake up as a righteous man living in the midst of wickedness with a vexation on his soul, a pain and a torment. Can I say this morning that Christians that are living in the world, if you're a true child of God, if you're living amongst the things of this world and you're involved in the things of this world, that's a picture of your life. It'll be vexed from day to day. Why? Because God has so much more for you. And I would say this, listen, Satan promised so much and gave so little. And yet, Lot lingered. He couldn't pull himself away from the city of Sodom. And for all of God's children living in worldliness this morning, this is the result. Torment, pain, and toil. And yet he couldn't bear to say goodbye to it. Again, it's hard to understand. Listen, a place in which had given him nothing other than just frustration and pain and toil, and yet he lingers there. And we might say it this way, as Lot moved into Sodom, Sodom moved into Lot. The mindset, the way of thinking of that wicked city. Can I tell you this morning, this is why God warns us to not make provision for the flesh. It's why he says, listen, don't fulfill the lust thereof. Praise the Lord that God gives us his Holy Spirit, which in John in chapter 16, verse 8, tells us that the Holy Spirit lives inside of the Christian, convicting us of sin. Listen, I'm thankful for the conviction of the Holy Spirit in my life when I go against the things of God. I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit says, stop. Stop, you don't want to head down that road. I'm thankful for that conviction. The Bible tells us he convicts us of sin. He teaches us of righteousness. I'm thankful the Holy Spirit teaches me how to live as a Christian. Amen. And then the Holy Spirit prepares us for judgment. Prepares us for the day in which we will stand in front of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for all eternity. Listen, this morning, Christian, may we not get comfortable in the world we live. May we view this world as a temporary holding place. Our lives are about so much more. Listen, as a Christian, we have an eternal purpose, not a temporary dwelling here on this earth. We are pilgrims and strangers, and this land is not our home. You see, the problem with Lot is he made Sodom his home. He had a temporary thinking. We see the progression into Sodom, but secondly, I want you to see the provision on the part of God. Go back with you, back to Genesis in chapter 19, would you? Here, as we study the story back in, I think, chapter 12 or 13, the angels come to destroy the city of Sodom. They first go to Abraham. It's interesting, they go to Abraham, and God was determined to save the city of Sodom if there could be 50 righteous found in that city. Listen, Abraham finally, in talking with God, got God to reduce that number down to 10. And God said, if there are 10 righteous in the land of Sodom, I won't destroy that city. We understand not even 10 could be found there, which, by the way, is a shame. Lot had 4 children himself. That's 6 of them, a wife and 4 children. 2 of them married husbands. That would have been 8 right there. If he would have just done the job of reaching his very family, he would have been close to that number. Listen, if they would have impacted one other couple living in the land of Sodom, God would have saved that city. Listen, I'm just helping you understand. God had made some provisions for Lot. Then after that, listen, then the angels come to Lot and they warn him. We read that this morning in our text this morning in chapter 19 and verses 12 down through verse 16. The angels warned him. And I ask myself this question over and over again. Why would God extend to Lot chance after chance and finally pull him and his family out partially against their will? Why would God do that? And listen, I find the answer to that in verse 16. There's one word there. It's mercy. God's mercy. The Bible says in verse 16, the Lord being merciful unto him. That word mercy, I love that word. It means the withholding of deserved punishment. Listen this morning. If you're on your way to heaven today, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're going to spend eternity with God in heaven, it's because of the mercy that God has given in your life. Listen, God's mercies, the Bible says, are renewed day by day. They're renewed every morning. I thought about it this way. If God's mercy had a limit, we would have overdrawn that long time ago. God has such mercy. God has such grace that He's extended to us. And yet I want to say this morning, Christian, never take God's mercy for granted. Never look at God and just expect another chance. Listen, I understand as we live this life, there are times that we're going to mess up. There are times that we're going to fail. Undoubtedly, listen, we are humans, but we never ought to look to God and say, well, God is rich in mercy. Therefore, I'm going to live however I want to live. And I'll just expect God to renew His mercies in my life. Listen, that is not the way God's mercy works. And as Christians, listen, we are promised Christ is coming back, and we should live in light of eternity. Can I remind you this morning that the people of Sodom never believed there was a judgment coming? Think about that. Those angels came into the city. They would have been no doubt seen as divine. And yet, the people of Sodom went on with their partying. They went on as they lived as there would be no judgment coming. Can I remind you, our world today lives like there's no judgment coming? Our world lives like there is never going to be a reckoning of their sin. Many have laughed away the fact that there is a creator God, and they'll say, listen, there is no God, therefore we can live however we want to live. And I remind you, that's the way the world lives. And yet, how sad is it when Christians don't live in light of eternity? When they go through their life and, listen, they have a earthly focus, they have a temporal focus for the things of this earth, and they don't live in light of eternity. Listen, that's a very definition of the way Lot was living. That's the only way to explain as Lot is standing there lingering as that city is about to burn. That's the only way to explain why he would have stayed there, because he was not living in light of eternity. He wasn't living in light of the fact that there is a God. And yet, Christian, may we live with that thought on our minds every day. That today I could wake up in eternity. I want you to turn you back to Titus in chapter 2. Titus in chapter 2 this morning. For Christians living in the New Testament church age, there's some instruction as to how we are to live in the world in which we live. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen, Paul, in speaking to Titus, says, this is what you're to live for. You're to live for the glorious appearing. Listen, every Christian in the New Testament church age ought to be living looking to the sky, looking for that appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the great hope that we have. The Bible says in verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And now look at the exhortation he gives to Titus. He says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Listen, apparently God understood in his word as he wrote it to Christians that there's going to come a time in which it would be very easy for Christians to get just kind of settled into this world. Just kind of settled into the things of this world and make ourselves quite comfortable in the world in which we live. And he said, Titus, this is what you're to preach. Have them look for eternity. Have them live not for today, not for what this world can offer them, but have them their eyes set on that heavenly kingdom. I want to remind you this morning of the provision that God gives to us. Yes, we live in this world, but God, even in 2 Peter in chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says He knows how to deliver the godly away from temptation. He gives us a way to live here in this world by looking to Him for eternity. And so we see the progression of Lot into Sodom. We see the provision on God's part. And finally this morning, I want you to see the product. What we have there at the end. What does Lot have for his time living in Sodom? And I would say this, listen, Sodom took almost everything from Lot. and gave him nothing. Lot lost big time. You begin to study the things that Lot lost. Well, the Bible certainly is clear that Lot lost his testimony. In Genesis chapter 19 and verse 14, he goes to his sons-in-law. He says, listen, judgment's coming. The Bible says they looked at him as one that mocked. The idea there is he was living life one way and speaking another way. Completely lost his testimony. Not only did Lot lose his testimony, listen, Lot lost his earthly possessions. Lot brought nothing out of the city of Sodom. Everything that he had was left in the city. Listen, the angels just pulled him and his wife and two of his daughters out. There was no earthly possessions left. They were all burned up. He lost his possessions. Not only that, he lost his wife. In verse 26 of Genesis chapter 19, you'll look at that passage. Listen, as the angels told Lot and his family not to look back. Don't look back towards the city of Sodom. Listen, you've left that behind. There's nothing there for you. That city had such a stronghold on his wife. She turned back. The Bible, to make an example, that we should not look towards the things of this world and how we can get caught up in the things of this world. The Bible says God turned her into a pillar of salt. A monument for those that would look at her and the viewpoint and the feeling that she had for this world. And then he lost his heritage. Listen, in an ungodly relationship with his daughters, as they got him drunk, Lot became a grandfather to the Moabites and the Ammonites. These are perennial enemies of the children of Israel, God's people. That's Lot's heritage. He lost everything at the hands of Sodom. Now the question I have this morning for you, Christian, what has the world system provided for you? What has this world given to you? I know some people look at a possessions that they have or the ability to work and the jobs that they have and say, this world's been pretty good to me. Can I remind you, if you're a Christian this morning, the Bible says every good thing you have in your life comes from God. God has given those things to you as blessings from God. We would say it this way, there's no self-made men. There's some men that have brought their own self-destruction about, but there's no self-made men this morning. God has given all these things to us as Christians to be a blessing to us. And you say, listen, what are we to learn from the life of Lot living in Sodom? What are we to learn this morning? And I think here the key is, Lot made Sodom his home instead of viewing it as a foreign land. He made this world his home. In other words, he invested everything in this life and really nothing in eternity. He lived as though this is what really matters. I want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Because it helps to illustrate this thought this morning. Speaking in the hall of faith of those Old Testament saints. You see, Abraham and Lot were both around at the same time. They both worked together for a time, and yet Abraham had a far different perspective of this world than Lot had. The Bible says in verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Listen, it says Abraham lived his life here on this earth in temporary dwellings. He looked for a city that God would give to him, a city that would have foundations. The Bible says in verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one in him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed them that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. You see, Abraham lived here on this earth looking to God. That city that God would provide for him, that heavenly city. Lot lived here on this earth looking to this earth as his home. You see, the difference is a temporary way of viewing things versus an eternal way of viewing things. And every Christian makes that decision. I'm either going to live here on this earth for a temporary lifestyle for what this earth can provide for me and for the goods of this earth, or I'm going to live my life for a different purpose, and that is for eternity. I'm going to lay up treasures in eternity. I'm going to labor for God. Listen, there's nothing wrong with having nice things here on this earth if God provides them for you. But listen, when that becomes your sole purpose for living as a Christian, that's when it becomes wrong. He says, have your focus on me. You know how not to get comfortable in this world as a Christian? View it as a stranger and a pilgrim. Understand, we are just pilgrims passing through. This is not our final destination. What a blessing to understand and think that God has something so much greater for us. You see, Lot had temporary thinking when he needed to have eternal thinking. I thought about a way to illustrate this morning as we draw this to a close. When Sheree and I were first married, we were living in Cleveland, and I remember after the first year, we had rented an apartment, and so it came time to renew our lease, and we had to decide at that time whether we were going to renew that lease or whether we were going to purchase. And we began to pray about it, and the Lord made it abundantly clear that we should purchase a home, and through a series of events that I don't even have time to go in this morning, we met a realtor, and almost a day later, we were looking at homes, and she took us to a condo. And that condo was just outside of the airport in the city of Cleveland. And one of the things that made that condo attractive to us was that the airport was currently planning for an expansion in the next 2 to 5 years. And they were going to expand the runways, and they were going to land bigger planes there than they had before. And so their idea was the local noise ordinance, if they were going to expand the airport, where that condo was would be inside of the noise barrier. So eventually, in the next 2 to 5 years, the hope was that the airport would come through as a commercial property and buy up all those condos and not do anything with them. They would just bulldoze them and just have a grassy field there because of the noise ordinance. And so we went into that house, and the Lord opened up the door, and we purchased that house. And I'm telling you, that condo, I think, was built in the 70s and had not been updated since the 70s. There was floral wallpaper everywhere. You can ask Sheree this morning. I mean, every room, bright floral wallpaper everywhere. They went to the wallpaper store and just went crazy. I mean, they bought every shade of every color of every flower, and they just threw them up on the walls in there. The countertops were a white type of pearl countertop, and they had an orange and brown streak, which is good for a Browns fan, but orange and brown streaks running through them. Sheree was not so much into them. I loved them. I thought it was great, you know. The walls had brown paneling on them, and the basement was dark and dingy, and the carpet was a baby blue, and I'm still trying to figure out the color scheme that the person that had built this house had gone through. But I remember going into that house and looking at Sheree, and we said, this is just temporary. We're not going to be here long. You know how silly it would have been for us to go into major amounts of debt to renovate that home? To put all brand new countertops in there and to renovate the bedrooms and the restrooms. And really, all we did is we went and got some paint. Listen, the wallpaper was on the walls so good, we didn't even bother taking it off the walls. We just painted right over the wallpaper in some of the rooms. It was perfect. You know, we even had texture. It looked like textured paint. You know, that might have been where that thing came from. I don't know. But listen, we had a temporary mindset. Why? Because we realized we're not going to be here long. Can I tell you, as I look back at that house, I don't have any regrets, to be real honest with you. I could take you to Cleveland today where that house is, and it's just a grassy field. I don't go stand over that field and say, why? Why did we spend so much money for something that's in the ground, for something that's been bulldozed? No, I don't have regrets. I can tell you this. I have some great memories of that house. That was the first house that Sheree and I purchased. You remember what it's like if you've ever purchased a house, the realtor brings you the key and you finally have that key, and it's like, what a blessing. We've got our own home and we have some great memories. I remember bringing Carter home from the hospital to that house. That was the first home he had. I remember the first Christmas that we spent there as a family of three. Great memories. And I would say this, zero regret. You know why? Because we looked at that house as a temporary place. We didn't invest a whole lot of money into that house. And so much so now we can look back and we can look at the pictures and we can have fond memories from that place because we viewed it with a temporal mindset. Praise the Lord, 2 years later, the airport came through. Sometimes those expansions don't happen. They did. We were able to make some money on that house, buy a better house. That was the mindset all along. Can I say this morning, if we were to bring Lot back here this morning, we might ask him this question, what would you say for your time in Sodom? And he'd say, there's a lot of regret there. I wish I would have lived differently. He might say, I wish I would have never even looked towards Sodom. That I would have looked more with an eternal focus, not looking for what this world could provide for me, but what for God could provide for me here on this earth and then as well in heaven. Here's what I want, Christian. When I get to heaven, I want to look back on this time here on this earth with some great memories, but very little regret. Because I didn't live for the purpose of this earth, but I lived with an eternal mindset that I lived to please my Savior every day of my life because I realized, listen, time on this earth is so short in relative to eternity. And this morning, as we look at the life of Lot, he lingered, he hesitated, he could not turn away from this world, and this world took almost everything from him. Now, I believe that Lot is in heaven today. But I believe as he'd look back at his time here on this earth, it'd be filled with regret. And listen, understand, God has given us this life here on this earth for a reason. There's purpose in you being here. There's purpose that God has placed you here on this earth. This is not just biding time till we get to heaven. No, God has a reason for having us here on this earth, but it's a heavenly focus that we look to this morning. Lot lingered and lost much. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Thank you so much for the way that you've listened. This morning, can I say the first step to living with an eternal mindset is to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe in the room this size with this many people, maybe there's someone in here and you don't know if you were to die today that you'd spend eternity with God in heaven. The first step towards living with an eternal focus is knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior, knowing where you're going to spend eternity. In just a moment, we're going to have a hymn of invitation. An invitation is time to respond to the preaching of God's word. Listen, if God is tugging at your heart this morning, if God is drawing you to himself, and if God is saying, listen, what do you think about eternity? Have you thought about eternity, where you'll spend eternity? If God is doing that this morning, I encourage you to come forward. Someone will be in the front with a Bible, and they'll be able to take that Bible and show you how you could know your Savior, Jesus Christ, and live in eternity. And then for the Christian this morning, sometimes our focus gets off. Sometimes we focus on what we can accomplish through this world, and God says, no, I want you to have an eternal focus. Not a temporary mindset, but an eternal mindset. Lord, as we come before you this morning, I pray that you'd help us this morning to look to you, that you'd help us to live, Lord, this life with eternity in view at all times. And I pray as we do that, Lord, not only would you bring blessings in this life, but great memories, but Lord, as we live for you, that we wouldn't have any regrets from this life. Lord, I pray for those that may be in this room that don't know you as a personal Savior. Lord, I pray that they would be compelled this morning to seek you out further, that they'd be compelled to come forward this morning and to respond to this invitation. Lord, we love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray, amen.